Happy Advent, everybody. Happy Advent. It's weird to say that, right? But I can't believe that it is December the 8th already. It was literally just last week that it was Thanksgiving, if you can believe it or not. And it feels as if so much has happened since then. The holiday season is in full swing. And if you are like me, the to-do lists seem to be getting longer and longer and longer, and time seems to be getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And it's in the midst of this hustle and bustle that I know I am so thankful to come together to worship this day with you all, my church family, who I love very much, where we can take a deep breath and pause in the presence of God, recenter our lives around what is most important, and come together to remind ourselves of this deeper why of Advent, to prepare for God to be born again and anew in our lives and in the world. And because it is so hard to find space in the midst of cultural Christmas, we actually started Advent early. You may be going, wait, why are there so many candles on this table? Yes, we are on the fifth Sunday of Advent because this year we knew we needed extra time. As we were considering how we are called to rebel, how we are to really called to worship fully and spend less. And today, we're going to explore how we are called to give more. But don't worry, even if that very word more makes you feel like this, it's okay. Just breathe. It's okay. I promise. So let's open ourselves up to God this morning about how God might be at work in our lives. Will you pray with me? God of creation, as we breathe in and out, we are reminded of the gift of life you have given to each of us. With each breath, we breathe in your love, your peace, your joy, and your hope. May this time of worship be a time when we can open ourselves more fully to you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, for you are the one who gives meaning to all that we say and do. Amen. Now, perhaps this is the case for you as well, but for me, gift giving has always been a huge part of my Christmas experience. On the screen, you can see a picture from growing up of which we received piles of presents. And this is only two kids in a family. So this is not for lots of kids. This is for two. Growing up under the tree. And I've asked my mom to send me pictures. And there is pictures of year after year after year of piles and piles of presents. And if you want to know the truth, I don't remember what is in most of those boxes. Or those packages. They're probably toys or things I just had to have in the moment, at least before I went on to, like, you know, the latest thing that I needed. And then when I reached young adulthood, gifts took on a different meaning. I began to enjoy giving gifts more. And I developed a pretty good skill as a gift giver. I asked my husband about this, and he said, agreed, that you can call yourself a good gift giver. And I was like, okay, thank you. And I asked him, so what's the best Christmas present I have ever given you? And his response was like this, the Red Wings tickets. And we smiled at each other, remembering that Christmas gift. So here's the story. It was our first Christmas together. Yeah, isn't that great? He's like, ah! It was our first Christmas together. We'd been dating less than 2 months. But I knew that I wanted to give him something very special because of, you know, all the feelings. So I knew he was from Detroit, and he liked hockey, and he liked the Red Wings. Now, remember, I'm from Florida. I had never seen a professional sports game before I met John, and much less sports that involved you being cold. But he did. So I bought him 2 tickets to the Red Wings versus the Nashville Predators game that was coming up in a few months in Nashville when we lived there. And this was before the Predators were good. So just remember that. I was so nervous about being able to give him these tickets. Because tickets for a couple of months, we'd only been dating 2 months. Is he thinking that like he's going to have to take me to this game or that we're going to still be dating in like a couple of months? Okay. But I knew it was something he loved. And so on the night when we celebrated with friends with an ugly sweater party before we went all to our homes after grad school, I went over to his house and to give him his present. Now here's the funny part of the story. I didn't get to see him open the gift. Now, I was there, but I was nervous. I wasn't sure if it was the right gift or perhaps it was too much. Perhaps he didn't give me a gift or he would think that it came with strings or he just wouldn't like them. And so one of his housemates suggested that he go into another room to open his Christmas present there to take that stress off of our relationship. So he did. I waited anxiously in the living room on pins and needles, making small talk, hoping that he loved his gift, and he went into his bedroom to open it. So a few minutes later, he came out wearing his Red Wings jersey, looking stunned with this giant smile on his face. And that moment made Christmas that year, and it is memorable in our relationship. Because gift giving is a major part of the Christmas season for a very good reason. One of the most essential elements of the nativity story is a gift, the gift of the incarnation, the gift of the baby Jesus, of Emmanuel, of God with us. And yet too often, gift giving becomes an obligation, a to-do, an empty performance to keep up appearances. And when this is the case, it feels hollow and is not a reflection of God's gift giving. It's this kind of gift giving that we are rebelling against during this Advent season, during the Advent conspiracy. Because it is this gift giving that causes Americans to spend over $800 per person, causing about 20% of people to go into debt for Christmas. And last year, during November and December in the U.S., our spending topped $1 trillion, with over $720 billion going on holiday spending. So what do we do with gift giving this Christmas season? How do we even think about giving more? Should we even attempt this? So as I thought about this idea of giving more, I thought about a game that Pastor Susan and I actually played recently when we went to an introductory workshop about an intergenerational household-based approach to stewardship from our friends in the ELCA Lutheran Church called the Generosity Project. And you're going to be hearing much more about the Generosity Project over the months to come, but this experience stuck with me so much and was a perfect illustration that I just had to do it this morning earlier than when we were planning to do it. But forgive me for that. You might have to play it again. That's okay. So the instructions are pretty easy. At the end of your row, as all of your children have already discovered, there is a basket with cups of M&Ms and a spoon. And so everybody, no about all ages, needs a cup of M&Ms and a spoon. So pass the basket on, pass it on. Everybody needs one. And if there's baskets that are run out, there's plenty around. There's some baskets where there's no one sitting. There you. All right. There are 3 rules to the game. 1, don't lick your spoon. 2, don't eat your M&Ms yet. 3, the game is played, so you want to take a spoon of M&Ms and put it in other people's bowls. You have 2 minutes. That's all you do. Take M&Ms from your bowl and put it in someone else. And you're going to have to get up and stand up. If you prefer to remain seated, make sure you get our friends who are remaining seated. So get up and give people M&Ms. You got to move around. All right. Now you may eat your M&Ms if you want. I see so So we're a fairly giving church. I see a lot of people who have fairly empty cups. When we played this with a teenager, he was giving one and people were giving him spoonfuls, so he had a giant cup because he wanted to eat them all. It was fantastic. But what I saw was a lot of laughter, a lot of smiles, a lot of joy of giving. Lots of people, even when you tried to give them all away, you ended up getting more back a lot of times, right? And if we kept playing, that would have been the case. More and more would have gone around. Because, you know, one of the things about this game is you give and you give and you give and you receive and you receive and you receive. And there was enough. And even when we tried to give it all away, you got more. And some had more, but we all had some, or if we didn't, that was our choice. We gave and we got. And if I had to title our sermon again today, I would call it Give More, Get More. Because that is what it really means. When we give more, we get more than we ever expect. In fact, research has shown that giving can result in lower blood pressure, improved self-esteem, it can lessen anxiety and depression, it can lower your stress levels, it fosters social connection, and it can increase your happiness. With those benefits, who wouldn't want to give more? And as I reflected about our connection of giving more and getting more and our scripture lesson, I asked myself some questions about the characters in our nativity story. I asked myself, what did Joseph get? You know, I think Joseph got a lot in our story. He got the opportunity to experience God's call on his life in a powerful way. He got to be Mary's husband. He got to be Jesus' father. He got to experience God's presence in a way that I can imagine stayed with him day after day. And then I asked myself, God gave us Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. What did God get? Did God get anything in return for giving us the gift of Jesus Christ? Or was it just one-way giving? And you know, I don't really think so. I think God received more. I think God received the joy of drawing us closer in relationship. I think God received the gift of being God with us in a powerful way. So powerful that it changed the course of history and even the cosmos, bringing about a new creation, a new humanity who experienced God in a profound way that would change the world and make it a better place. I think God got a lot out of giving that gift. Because when you give more, you get more. And that is what we experience when we give during this season. So how do we give more and get more in return? First of all, we give personally. Giving personally takes time and thought and creativity. And it can be scary because you're being vulnerable. I haven't decided what it means. You can think about it. That people, 42% of people would prefer to receive a gift card for Christmas. I don't know what that means in gift giving. I like gift cards, but is there a deeper meaning there? Is it because we are afraid of receiving things that we don't like and so we have to pretend we don't like them or we like them? Or are we nervous about the vulnerability of giving somebody something they might not like? Remember that story about those tickets? John opened it in the other room for this very reason. I was being vulnerable in giving, and he was being vulnerable in receiving. Yet remember those piles of presents I grew up with? I do remember one of them. I remember the set of tables and chairs, a table and chair set that my dad made for me for my Felicity American Girl doll. And they are up in my attic, waiting for the perfect person for me to get to share them with. So give personally when we give. Number two, give compassionately. This time of year is hard for many. The season heightens stress and sorrows, illnesses and grief, and everyday challenges seem harder and stressful more this time of year than any other time, if I do say so myself. And as we seek to rebel during our Advent conspiracy, we have to put on our lens of compassion to see the face of the baby Jesus and those we meet and those in our community who might need that compassion. Because there are many who need things and need us to be Jesus for them. Today is the last day to bring in our Giving Tree gifts. And so we've been collecting gifts for foster children and children whose parents are incarcerated so those parents can give their children a gift. For our shower guests and seniors and other needs that we know of. And the thing that I love about this, most people who give these gifts, you are never going to meet that person. You have no clue who they are besides the name of a tag. But you get a lot. Simply because you are filled with the compassion of Jesus Christ and are giving compassionately. Number three, third way, give relationally. This is probably the most important. Give relationally. You've heard the phrase, time is money, right? Well, the gift of time and presence is the most powerful gift that you can give. Giving time is harder than giving physical gifts or money. But giving relationally is the very essence of the gift of Jesus, of the incarnation of God with us. So give that gift card to Starbucks, but include in that card some time when you and that person can get together for the cup of coffee. Give that sweater to somebody, but include in pockets those notes of a special note saying about all the times that you remember or what you love about that person the most. Ask somebody what they care about most in the world, and then give to a charity or an organization that supports that. It can be hard to give relationally because it requires us to give more fully of ourselves by giving our time and our presence. As we are preparing to expand our shower ministry to shelter some of our showered guests on the most extreme cold weather nights, I'll tell you, we've had many who are like, oh, I'm happy to donate, which is wonderful. We need donations. But do you know what our biggest need is and that we need people to sign up for? People who are willing to give their presence, of volunteers who are willing to be overnight monitors, to just be there and be awake to make sure everyone stays safe. That is the biggest gift that we need. And it is so much harder to give personally and compassionately and relationally than it is to buy a present. But it is worth so much more when we take the time and give of ourselves, as so many of our church family experienced yesterday. Yesterday, about 70 of our church members gathered together for breakfast, and then they went caroling to our homebound ministry partners, taking Home Touch and Pi Day gifts. And they all gave relationally by giving the gift of their presence, of building relationships across generations, and incarnating the love of God for people together. I know that in our time together and as we experienced hugs and smiles and, yes, teary eyes and cheerful and somewhat off-key singing and much laughter, I know I received much more than what I gave. And because when you give more, you get more in return. So give like God and receive the gifts which give and give and then you get. Amen and amen. So each week we have an opportunity to think about what we want our spiritual journey to be like this next week. What commitment we're going to be making to Jesus Christ. For some of us, it might be committing that Jesus is the Christ, of saying, yes, I believe that, and that I want to make that commitment of to be a follower of Jesus Christ my whole life. For some of us, it might be saying, I want to make a commitment to Florence Christian Church. I am going to work through this congregation and serve that way. But for all of us, we have an opportunity to give relationally. And if you can't think of anything, that's okay. We have on the giving tree a whole other set of ornaments. And these are acts of kindness ornaments. So pick one up for you or your family, and it's things that you can do. They are easy, but they are gifts relationally. Most cost no money, but you can give of your time, of yourself, and give that gift of presence of God with us. And that is one way that you can give more. Let's stand and sing as we consider our commitment to Jesus this week.
Family hiding from the storm, found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. The sleeping town, it did not know that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in His sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Mother holds the promise tight. Every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light. For in His hands He holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, and it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.